Well, we're talking about our four steps, and why do we do four steps? Well, it's just because it was, you know, it's something obtainable. It's something I can grab hold of. It's something that I can think about. Is this the only way to counsel ourselves? No, there's so many great ways, and in fact, there's many Bible passages that kind of give us a reminder of our position in Christ to now live this way. But we said our four steps were to recognize my real problem. Now, let's do some review, okay? So I see an area of behavior, but what's some good counsel but not the best counsel? I could just tell someone, you need to stop it, right? Just change. Just do something different. I could just appeal to their will. I could even motivate them with negative consequences, right? But negative consequences, there's always going to be a moment when there's always going to be a time when the moment of pleasure outweighs the fear of future consequence. We've got to have a deeper motivation than that. It's that's the safety break. When the only thing that's keeping you from sinning is the fear of consequence, you need to understand something. You've already burnt through all of the normal breaks, and you're on the safety break. You've already burnt through your relationship. You've already burnt through your love for Christ. You've already burnt through the hurting people around you, and so now you're just the bare bones consequence. You gotta get some help now. Recognize the real problem. Our behavior reveals something about us. And so the way we find out that something is to ask the question, what do I really what? And that reveals my what? My idols. And my idols show me what attributes of God do I not believe? What am I disbelieving about the character of God? And then not only does it show me what my idols are, but my real problem is that I have a wrong view of God and a love for who? Who do I love more than Christ? Who do I love? Self. And you begin to meditate on that, and you begin to realize that your sin is actually a manifestation of an idol, that you're displacing the character of God, and you love yourself more than you love Christ. And really, this is what leads us into godly sorrow. This is what leads us into a true, genuine repentance, where that we're saying, no, I don't want that. I do want Jesus. I do value God. I am thankful for his love. I'm thankful for his mercy. I don't want to go there. I want Christ. So recognize the real problem. Repent of my sin. But then we took all yesterday to talk about our position in Jesus Christ. Why did we take that time to talk about our position in Jesus Christ? There's no wrong answer. And I didn't give there's not a specific answer. But I just want us to remind ourselves, why do we take the time to talk about our position in Jesus Christ? Okay. So that's who commands us that. That's really who we're indebted to, but what else? Yeah. Yeah, it begins to punch through all the lies, doesn't it? Because does anyone ever hear any lies? Anyone hear that you've got to do that or you have to do this? And our position in Christ, it punches through our lies, but it gives us, it's really the means by which we can say no, isn't it? I'm not saying no in my own strength. I'm saying no through the power of Jesus Christ's death and his burial and his resurrection, so that through Christ, there's been a union with Christ. So now that this mystical union means that when Jesus Christ died 2,000 years ago, then I died too. So I died to sin. I've been raised to new life. I don't have to go back to that old sin. And there's a power in really the finished work of Jesus Christ. You know, the gospel is not just to get us out of hell, right? We know that, right? Behold the Lamb of God which cometh to do what? What does the Lamb of God come to do? To take away the sin of the world. And really, Jesus Christ conquered sin. And therefore, what we want to do, then the fourth step is to renew my relationship. So remember how I said, hey, if I'm only avoiding sin because of the fear of future consequence, that's the safety break? Well, what needs to happen is my relationship needs to be stronger. Okay, so way of illustration. What's a sin that we could just illustrate real quick? What'd someone say? Oh, I thought. Okay, let me take, I'll take some morals, okay? So if, area of morality, so if you're just staying pure to your spouse because you're supposed to, doesn't that eventually turn a little bit like a bitter pill? I'm just being pure because I'm supposed to. Now, if duty keeps us, then thank the Lord for duty, right? But isn't it more enjoyable to be one of delight? And both are manifestations of love, aren't they? Love out of duty or love out of delight, they're both there. But But how much better is it to be preoccupied by your spouse, to be enjoying your spouse, to be in love with your spouse, so that really what your preoccupation is your spouse rather than that other temptation? You could take this in many other arenas. You could take it in really the arena of covetousness. It's like you're pining away with all that you wish you could have, but when you're really enjoying Christ, you're realizing he's all you really need. And so what would you rather do? Live life going like, oh, I wish I could have that car. I wish I could do that. I can't. You know, I made the choice to really be sacrificial with my money. I'll never have that stuff. I mean, is that really how you want to live life? Avoiding certain things, or do you want to be preoccupied by something greater? I mean, do you want your Christian life to be something about the list of the things you should not do, or do you want to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh? There's a difference, isn't there? One is this preoccupation with all that you can't do. And you know what that usually produces? It's usually a law-centric approach to sanctification. Because if I'm looking at all the things I can't do, then I also feel elevated because I avoided something. And then I'm looking at other people that didn't avoid that something. And then I'm thinking, you know, they should avoid that something. But you know what I find? If I am just preoccupied by Christ and his grace, then not only is there a humility to my walk with God, but then there's a graciousness to others. Because I've received mercy, I want them to receive mercy. And so this whole thought process of renew my relationship is this, that when we see ourselves stumbling back into sin, we want to recognize what it really is. We want to repent of the sin. It's on the foundation of our position in Jesus Christ. But then we want to think, okay, what do I need to do to renew my relationship with Christ? Okay, if I get elevated in my conversation with my son, do you know what I needs to happen? I need to think through it, but actually I need to come back and strengthen that relationship with him, don't I? It's not just that something bad happens, so I got to do good things. No, it's like I actually want that child to have a connection with me. And you know what? If you're drifting away from the Lord, the answer is not just all of a sudden I got to do these things. The answer is you need to cultivate your love for Christ. And cultivate your understanding of who God is. Because if the root of our sin is a wrong view of God and a love for self that's greater than our love for Christ, then we need to work at really enjoying Jesus Christ. And so the root of sin, wrong view of God, a love for self that's greater than a love for God, it's that's rest really in the will and the affections. That's really where the issue is. So I want to renew my relationship with God by filling my mind with truth from the Bible about God. So if I'm stumbling in my sin, I want to fill my mind with God's word. Do you know when you know God, you love God? I mean, I was telling you how that Christy and I were stuffing envelopes for Pettit, you know, all those years ago in some room over there, 1996 or something over there, and we're Once for All CDs, that's dates it right there, and so we're stuffing these envelopes, and I just really loved Christy, didn't I? I mean, I had a full, mature love for Christy. But you know what? Over these years of actually getting to know Christy, I love Christy better than I did 15, 20 years ago. But how about you that have been married like 40 years? Don't you love your spouse more than you used to? Why? Because you know them. You can't. Do you know that you cannot know God and not love God? I mean, when you see his vastness and his holiness and you just see who he is, I mean, it's overwhelming. It's like walking up to the Grand Canyon. What do? You don't just walk up and go, oh, that's nice. No, you walk up to the Grand Canyon and you're like, oh, wow, guard the kids, you know? Because you can't know God and not love God. And so fill your mind with truths from the Bible about God. So study passages that describe God's character and his attributes, and specifically the attributes of God that really your idols are revealing that you do not believe. We're gonna take just in here in a moment, we're gonna try to come up with some homework strategies. Build a build a biography of God. Take the Psalms, take the Gospels, and just write out who God is. And you got a little journal, write out who God is, and then pray it back to the Lord and just enjoy the Lord. And like Psalm 23, write it out. Lord, you are my shepherd. I don't have to want stuff. I can want you. You make me to lie down. You restore my soul. You feed me. You lead me with your staff and your staff and your rod. You correct me and you lead me. And you write out all these things. And then you have a prayer time. Dear Lord, thank you. Thank you for being my shepherd. Thank you for doing this work in my life. Thank you for protecting me. Thank you for convicting me. But then listen to sermons and Bible teaching. You know, we can speak so negatively about technology. I actually kind of like technology. But the reason why we speak about it is because you can rush into sin pretty quick with tech, can't you? And technology can grab you, and technology can rob your heart. But you know what? There are so many great avenues to just listen to a lot of God's word. You know what I did this morning? You know what I've been doing for the last month or two? Is because I've been resurrecting. I've been so tired that you know how I'm doing my devotions right now? I'm listening as I'm reading. It's helping me just to, so I got on my phone and I'm just listening and going through. And so I just did most of the book of Galatians today, and it was a blessing. I'm listening to a sermon series through 1 Corinthians, and it's been a blessing. We have so many resources at our hands. Do you know that hundreds of years ago, I'm just talking like, let's just take 200 years ago. Do you know that it was very difficult to get print, get material in print about the Word of God? Oh, you could probably, there'd be a family Bible, but there wasn't the plethora of Bibles in the house that are in our own house. There wasn't all the audio recordings of stuff. You could read some people's sermons, but I mean, there's so many great ways to fill your life with Bible teaching and the Word. In fact, if you're struggling with a certain area or an attribute of God, and all of a sudden it dawns you that, man, some good teaching out of Romans chapter 8 would really, really help me to be reminded of God's love for me, well, why don't you go to Pastor and say, Pastor, do you have any sermons on Romans 8? That are recorded? Or Pastor, would you recommend, what's some names of some other Bible preachers that you would recommend me listening to Romans chapter 8? And just get God's word in your heart. But then cultivate a love, a heart that loves and enjoys Christ more than sin. Do you know it's possible to enjoy Jesus more than sin? I mean, there are seasons, and in my own heart, I mean, there are seasons that, you know, I lose my love for Christ, and temptations that are available seem, I want to grab for those. But there are other seasons where I actually am waking up and I'm reading the Word and I'm enjoying Christ and I'm talking with Christ and you're just kind of walking through and you're just having this conversation with the Lord and a temptation comes, but you're kind of like, you're really actually enjoying Christ that you find yourself saying, I don't know if I want to go to that sin and go through a couple hours of trying to get back into communicating with the Lord. And I actually love Jesus more than my sin. Isn't that sweeter than saying, I better not, I cannot, I should not, if I do, life's going to be better. Isn't it more enjoyable to fight sin from the perspective of a love relationship with God? And I'm not negating duty, right? There's times I'm battling, right? That we're just saying, no, 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 we're all there. No, think right. Don't go there. Don't say that. No. And you're fighting. That's just as much love. But there's a love of duty and there's a love of delight. And the goal is that we cultivate our relationship with the Lord so that we actually enjoy Christ more than sin. Discern and avoid the things that rob my life of the ability to enjoy Christ. Do you know there are things that are not necessarily sinful that rob me of my ability to enjoy Christ? I told you I really enjoy English Premier League soccer. There was a couple years ago, I got so mad because my team lost. Has anyone else ever got mad because your team lost? Isn't that crazy? Isn't that just crazy? But the Lord used that to really smite my heart that this was becoming more important. I just set it aside for about a month. I don't, I'm saying everyone else should do that. I just was like, you know what? That in and of itself is not sinful, but here I am. Here I am getting mad because a team lost. And I just said, you know, I'm just going to set that aside for a little bit. I want to enjoy the Lord more than soccer. Why don't you just be honest about the things that rob you of your ability to enjoy Christ? Meditate on the sacrifice and the triumph of Jesus on the cross. You know, take time to read through the Gospels. Take time to pursue him. Develop a discipline yet devotional pursuit of God. And really, this is the last one. It's really assign yourself homework assignments. So let's take somebody. Who here is ever fearful? Anyone here fearful? Now, I've already confessed my fear like 3 times this week. I don't know what it is this week, but you're like, you're getting to know all my sin this week, okay? So how many of you are fearful? Anybody else fearful? Okay, a bunch of us. Okay, what do I not believe about God when I'm fearful? What do I not believe about God? He's capable. He's sufficient. What else? He's sovereign. What else? He's all-powerful. What scripture could I take to really begin to understand that God is all-powerful, that God, what's some scripture that comes to your mind? Okay. So maybe just going through the Psalms, huh? What if some of us just said, you know, I'm going to go through the Psalms looking for ways and the attributes of God that support my, that really would bolster my the defense of my heart against the fear of men. Can I tell you what I did? You know what the homework assignment I assigned myself? I did a study, because mine was really related to the fear of men. I did a study through the life of Saul and the life of Peter. And I just read through every Old Testament passage about Saul, and I started writing down all of his expressions of fear. Does anyone know any expressions of fear of Saul? The very onset when he's being called to lead, where is he hiding? Among the luggage. When he was confronted of his sin, he said, no, don't tell the people because I'm afraid of what they'll do. Saul was a fearful man. What about Peter? Was he ever afraid? Oh man, he was so afraid. Whenever he was afraid, what did he start doing? Oh, there's God, transfiguration, and oh, there's some other prophets. Quick, let's make some booths. Let's worship all three. And it says, and this he spake because he didn't know what else to say. Really, really. Peter, did you really want to have an altar for these other people, a booth, a place of honor, really, on the parity with Christ? No, he didn't mean, no. But that's a homework assignment. You know, it could be you're struggling with the fear of men. Then go through a homework assignment and look at really the consequence of it and look at how it separates and look at how the effect is. But at the same time, you're starting to build your understanding of who God is. Is anyone here prayerless? Anyone struggle with prayer life? Okay, you know what the Lord did in my heart? I kept on hearing this in my heart. Will, why don't you read through the Bible and just notate every verse about prayer? I kept on hearing that. Now, who's putting that in my heart? Is Satan doing that? Is the world tempting me to read my Bible and look for prayer? I put it off for like eight, nine months. I mean, that was the thing. I was like, Lord, help me to pray. And something in my heart would be like, well, why don't you just read through the Bible and notate everything with prayer? So you know what? I finally did it. And it took me 2 years, okay? I bought some hardback Bible that I could write in. And so I call it my prayer Bible. And I just start underlining and writing. And I just worked my way through. It took me about 2 years to do it. But you want to know something? I'm not where I ought to be, but I'm not like I used to be, right? I mean, I really had a season. Well, without going into it, I really struggled being lazy. So you know what the Lord kept on doing in my life, and this was about 8-10 years ago. It was just I went through all Proverbs. And I looked up every verse about laziness, slothfulness, diligence, and I just gave myself some homework. It was just that's what the Lord was doing in my life. Okay, there was a season. Where when I was a kid, that there was some immoral magazines thrown in my life. And I got really desperate while trying with Pettits. And you know what I did? Is I created this whole list of about 20 verses about moral purity. And somewhere in there it clicked on me that it wasn't just about avoiding. And I started getting verses about that God was big and he could see. And that God loved me. And that he was truthful. And you know what I do while traveling with the Pettits? Every morning for about 6 months, I would walk and I would read, memorize, meditate, pray through those verses. And God changed me. Okay. I just kind of laid it out. 4 homework assignments that the Lord had really worked in my life. Can I tell you, you will do what you want to do. You... you will do what you want to do. If you want to be a different person in Christ, then you will do what you want to do. You will do whatever it takes to rip open the roof and lower down the friend. You will climb up the tree and to see Jesus. You'll push through a crowd that says, stop, you're unclean. You'll shout, even though people are saying, shut your mouth. You will do whatever you want to do. And I struggle in my heart to whether to share those, because I'm not trying to talk about me. I'm just trying to say it. I'm with you. And if God's at work in your life and you see fruit of sin that's revealing your lack of really a right view of God's character and a love for yourself that's greater than love for Christ, then figure out your idol, figure out what you don't believe about God, and let's be a people that renew our relationship with God. Do whatever it takes. Go for it. Assign yourself some homework. And then you know what? We've got three more nights. If you're struggling coming up with a creative homework assignment, I would love to take that time. And I'll just help you. I'll write out some things. I've done this for about 20 summers working at the camp. And so if you want to sit down after the service, you want to send me an email, you want to do whatever, I will take time and I'll try to think through what are some practical ways that you can be renewed in your relationship with God about creating a right view of his character and really a love for Christ that's greater than a love for self. All right? And all God's people say, all right, let's take a break and we'll come back.